Richard's face, when she last glimpsed it, was the picture of distress. She felt faint, sick, as she walked on. She took her breaths deeply, and by the time she had reached the corner, she was all right. She was thinking of nothing but Richard, and her mind gave in gradually to a melancholy that was almost sadness. They were wealthy, the Lermontons, with their shop, their stables, their stone yards. The new Spanish-style house in the Rue Saint-Louis had large double doors, and at night, through floating lace curtains, one could glimpse a spectacle of gaslight. Their only son could pick and choose. At 13, she would soon be old enough to be courted, and at 16, Richard was not old enough to give it a thought.
"I've seen you looking at that girl," said Rudolph. "I've seen you gawking at her on the street the way you just did now. Gawking at her in church."
Richard's brows knit.
"A girl like that,
mon père. She's Marcel's sister. She's above reproach, mon père. If I looked at her in some way, it was nothing, I assure you."
"Mon fils," Rudolph said, his voice low, "don't you understand? Girls like Marie Saint-Marie, yes, Marie. Girls like that always follow in the footsteps of their mothers."
Richard's eyes moved down slowly. "No, mon père, not Marie. No."
"Son," Rudolph sighed, "don't break your heart."
"I know I've worried you," Marcel said, "but maman, all that's past. And I have good news for you, wonderful news. You are expelled from school, and you say this to me. You stay out till dawn and come home drunk, and you say this to me. I've sent for Monsieur Philippe, and he's coming. He's coming to deal with you at last. This very morning I wrote to him. I told him everything."
"You wrote to Monsieur Philippe?" Marcel spoke in a cold voice.
"You should not have done that, Mama."
"I'm at my wit's end with you," she wailed. "Roaming the streets at all hours, drinking in the taverns, expelled from school, he'll come. He'll talk to you. He'll advise you."
Marcel's face was cold. He studied her as if he did not know her. And then he uttered a dry laugh.
"Oh, mon Dieu. What do you think he'll do then?"
"I don't know," Marcel said. "You know him far better than I do, Maman."
It was almost dark when Richard finally left the undertaker's shop that evening to attend to the wake of Dolly Rose's little girl. Entering the parlor, he at once turned his eyes to the small bed surrounded by white chrysanthemums on which the child was laid. Her beauty shocked him. Of course, she appeared to be asleep. This child had died of lockjaw, and yet she lay serene in this lifelike posture. Dolly Rose was not there. Rather, a white man appeared who went up to the coffin, looked down, and then retired to the far corner of the room. He was a striking man, perhaps 25, with a distinction that was rare in one so young. The man gazed up into Richard's face, and only then did Richard sense his torment.
"Lamontant, monsieur," Richard whispered with a slight bow.
The man nodded, and from his waistcoat he drew out a small card. The name was Vincent d'Azincourt. It was an old Louisiana family. He was the father of the child. Dolly Rose finally entered the room. She glared at d'Azincourt from the doorway. She buried her face in her hands. Richard could see at once that she was drunk. Dolly Rose had been a remarkable beauty, that kind of quadroon who had given the Salle d'Orléans its fame. She had gone through white admirers as through pairs of gloves, spending lavishly and never thinking to save for the future. Now, taking a deep breath, Richard approached Dolly, tentatively, only to discover that she did not know him, in fact, did not appear to know anyone. Meanwhile, people entering turned their heads to the white man as though his face were alight. A man of color in a Parisian coat approached.
"Vincent," he said.
Slowly, the white man lifted his head.
"Christophe," he whispered.
A mild shock passed through Richard. It was Christophe Mercier.